looking forward to tonight's presentation with my very old, long-time friend, but more of that in a little bit. We'll do Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. So we'll read Proverbs chapter 4 for everyone at home, verses 1 to 9 as an introduction to tonight's class. So at the end of a busy day, at the middle of a busy week, it's not always easy to take everything that God is trying to instruct us to heart, is it? So I'm grateful that I know Uncle Ray would have prepared a really encouraging talk for us. And my version says in verse 1, listen, friends, to some fatherly advice. So that's a really nice introduction, because most of you might, or you might or might not know, that being a fellow Victorian, we sort of grew up together. And so Uncle Ray, as he said hello, was about to give me the old liturgy of sins that I committed as a young person, so I had to nip him in the bud. But I am looking forward to some fatherly advice. And he's telling me that he's almost 82, did you say?
92.
They're smart, aren't they, these Victorians? So 72. So we must have known each other for almost
42 years.
He knows it to the day. Excellent. Looking forward to this talk. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Brother Jamie, for an incredible Victorian introduction. I haven't forgotten. Yes, Jamie and I do go back a long way, and we've had some fun times together for one reason or another. And I lost 4 stone chasing him around the Mount Waverley Ecclesia in 6 months. Only because Bill Dodson was exhausted and couldn't do it anymore. But we love Brother Jamie, and we have known him a long time, and he's grown into a very fine brother in Christ, and I'm very grateful to be able to call him a brother. So when Steve rang me the other week and said, could you do a night for us, and our theme this year is wisdom, I said, well, what aspects of wisdom would you like me to do? And he said, that sounds like a good title. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at the aspects and applications of biblical wisdom. Now, there's a few young ones with us tonight, which is really nice. And by the way, you read beautifully. Far better than I can read. I can tell you right now, you beautifully read beautifully. And reading the Bible beautifully is so important, because that reading and then thinking about what you're reading is Bible study. Now, some people talk about Bible study and they think it's very complex and complicated, but it doesn't really have to be. So just simply reading the Word of God and letting it go into your mind and then thinking about what that means to you is Bible study, and it's very important Bible study. And that's why we endeavour to do daily readings and to take in God's Word and think about it. And it's good for us to do that, very important for us to do that. So as you were reading tonight, very beautifully, I was thinking about what you were reading. And I had that read, those 9 verses, because it's a really good introductory to the great superiority and the power of biblical wisdom. Not the wisdom of men we're talking about. We're talking of the wisdom of the Almighty God, the Creator, as Jamie said, of heaven and earth and all things therein. This is a wonderful, wise Father that we have, and how grateful we are to be able to call ourselves the sons and children of the living God. So important. So I thought I'd ask a question to get things going. And I was sitting in my study this afternoon thinking, now if I ask this question, I'm likely to get an answer from around the back row saying, so I'll ask the question, I'll tell you what I thought the answer might be. What is wisdom? We're younger ones here, around. What do you think wisdom is? You hear about, you know, wise people. And so what do you think wisdom is?
Being smart.
Being smart. Right. Okay. Well, that's part of it, isn't it? Being smart, yes. Good. A knowledge of Christ is very wise. Yes. Anything to add to that? That's pretty profound, isn't it? What she said. That's what I say when Auntie Kay talks, what she said. So when I asked that question, I had this little thing going off in the back of my mind this afternoon. When I said, what is wisdom? And someone up the back said, not you. And I thought, I'll be careful asking that. So, thank you. So, wisdom is about being wise. So, what we want to cover tonight, and I'm very conscious of our time together, that we want to look at what are the types of biblical wisdom. What is the key to us taking wisdom in? What is it that we need to do? And Jamie mentioned that. It's the fear or reverence of God. And then we want to look at some of the applications of biblical wisdom. How was wisdom used in the Bible? And then finally, we want to look at the seven pillars of wisdom. So let's start at a really good spot. God's wisdom seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think about God, he is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals as the Creator, whose ordering lies behind everything, whose moral character gives meaning to our awareness of what's right and what's wrong in our lives. The wisdom and values of God are seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, we know that by reading the gospel records. And we also know it from this verse from Paul. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, they are marvellous things, aren't they? So, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now you think about the grace in that, the mercy in that. God has made unto us, the Lord Jesus Christ, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So wisdom is that we can become smart, if I can use your terminology, smart by listening to God's word in his Bible. So that makes us wise. Wise to do the right thing. That's the Bible wisdom. And righteousness is that we are made right in Christ Jesus. And sanctification means that we are removed from sin by God in Christ Jesus. And redemption means, what's redemption mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? Forgiven? Good. Forgiven. Who said that? Well done. I was watching her and your mouth moved. You're a ventriloquist. Ventriloquist. Very good. Okay, so yes. So it means, redemption means to be forgiven and to be come into, be part of Christ's life. To be redeemed from the old way of life to a new way of life. So all those things are really important. So there's where we see wisdom. Now, there are two forms of wisdom, of course. Nutting it right down. Two forms of wisdom. First of all, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. That's a wonderful quote. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Now you think about all the wise things of the kingdoms of men. Now some of them are extremely good. Think about the medical profession, for instance, saving lives and all those sorts of things. But generally, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So that's why the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, because he takes the wise in their own craftiness. They get filled up with their own self-grandeur and they don't elevate God to his rightful position. So that makes the wisdom of the world foolishness. But the Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Now you think about the ramifications of that. So the Lord, by wisdom, has founded the earth. So we're here, living in South Australia, Adelaide, Hyde Park, here in South Australia. We're part of the world that God founded on this earth through his wisdom. And by understanding, he has established the heavens. Now here's a little bit of Bible study for you to take away with you. When you go home, you Bible students, have a look at the words of founded and have a look at the words understanding and established. I'm not going to do that tonight, but you have a look at those because they're very important issues. So here's two things. You've got two sorts of wisdom. The wisdom of the world, which is foolishness with God, and then you've got the biblical wisdom by which God founded the earth, and by understanding as he established and spread out the heavens in all their glory. So when we go out on a dark night and we look up at the heavens and we see those stars sometimes looking like golf balls and we think, isn't that marvellous? That was done, that was established by God's understanding. And we fit into that understanding. We're part of that understanding. We're part of God's plan and purpose. And one day, God willing, by grace, when we're immortal beings, we will know a lot more about what all that heavens means. And because we are ageless and timeless in immortality, we may find ourselves exploring those things at much, much closer vantage. Who knows? Wonderful things ahead of the saints of God. So let's talk about then biblical wisdom. So biblical wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. It ends with obedience to his commandments. So if we're wise biblically, we're going to do what God wants us to do. Why? Because we love him. Why? Because he's done so much for us. As Jamie said in his prayer, he's done so much for us, understands us, knows every one of us so well. God's wisdom guides us through a world of folly. Now, I'm not going to be rude about anyone, but you don't have to look far around the world to see folly happening everywhere. In all sectors of life, folly is evident. But we're not of this world or its wisdom. We're not in the wisdom that's the foolishness with God. Our hearts are inclined to understanding God and his purpose. So every day as we sit down as a little family and we get our Bibles out and we read our Bibles, we are becoming more and more familiar with our God and his purpose with us. And that's so important, because he's so merciful in what he has done for us. Now let's think about types of wisdom granted by God. So if you go through, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament, but the Old Testament, there are special types of wisdom that God bestows on various times for particular purposes. Now, for instance, I've put one here. Preeminently, God had given Solomon, I believe you've done Ecclesiastes recently, is that true? Is there nods? Yes, good. Okay, so God has given Solomon the wisdom to govern, that's one source of wisdom, to perceive, to administer, to construct, and to reveal. Now, all those things Solomon had the ability to do because of God's mercy. And God saw in Solomon, of course, a man of great wisdom, someone that he had developed in great wisdom. He wasn't a perfect man, not like the Lord Jesus Christ, because he failed. But he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. This sort of special wisdom included that which Solomon had when he was inspired to write Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Now, you've just done Ecclesiastes, had a look at that. We've done some work on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, not so much on Song of Solomon, but others have. And when we look at that body of work that Solomon produced by God's wisdom, it's incredible. It's staggering. And the insights, let's just take Ecclesiastes, the insights that come from that book for our everyday life are invaluable. And God used wisdom in Solomon to take the experiences of his own life and write them as if he was living under the sun, away from God. So what would life be like? Well, it was empty, it was vanity, it was hopeless, until he perceived something far greater. So there's great wisdom in that for Solomon, but what about the wisdom of God in doing that for us? That's wonderful, isn't it? That we've got those books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, that we might, every day if we like, go in and read a chapter of the Proverbs. There used to be a group of brethren that used to meet in the city one day a week, and whatever date it was, they'd read that chapter of Proverbs together. Not a bad idea. So that's not a bad idea for us personally, because you can't really get enough, can you, of this word. And so if you set yourself just to read the proverb of whatever day it is, 31 happens to be nice because it's 31 chapters, and it works out very well. Okay, let's progress on. And if anyone wants to say anything at any time, please do that. Let's look at some of the types of wisdom that God granted apart from what he gave to Solomon. And we've put this under little headings. So wisdom in view of the service of the sanctuary in Exodus 36 and verse 2, and Moses and Bezalel and Aholab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. So look, notice that, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. So God had put wisdom into the heart of his servants to do particular things. And in this case, it was service around the sanctuary. Now, God puts wisdom in our hearts through his word of truth for us to be of service in the ecclesia. And it's a wonderful parallel, isn't it? So we will have people in all meetings all around the world who have got a particular skill in serving the ecclesia, in serving the sanctuary of God, in serving brethren and sisters, in serving young people, in helping and encouraging. We will have people who have got that wisdom from God out of the Word. And their lives have been so directed that they exercise their minds in a particular direction for the service of God. So that wisdom is given. And then you've got the wisdom of leadership. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua was a man, and we know from the book of Joshua, man of great leadership quality, and people followed him. He had the wisdom from God, because there it is, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Where did he get that from? From God, of course. Nowhere else. That's biblical wisdom. And for Moses had laid his hands upon him, transferred the spirit gifts in those days, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him did as the Lord commanded Moses. So he was a man specifically given wisdom for the role of leadership. Now again, in our ecclesial world, there are people who have got a particular wisdom for leadership, a particular wisdom for helping to guide and direct the ecclesia. And that's a great responsibility, and that's a wisdom that, again, we get out of the Word of God, both Old and New Testament, plenty of examples for helping us to guide and help ecclesias. So the wisdom of leadership. Now here's a tough one. And all Israel heard of the judgments which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So there is a wisdom of God that is given to his servants to do judgment, to make decisions. Who can think of a really classical Solomon decision? When someone come to him with a little baby. Does anyone think about that? Right. Because the real mother, he knew, would say, no, no, no. And the one who was pretending to be mother didn't say anything. So Solomon was very wise, you see. God had given him that wisdom. He said, well, get a sword, cut the baby in half, and have half each. But the real mother said, no, no, no. And Solomon knew that would happen. Very good. So here is a great example of Solomon's wisdom in judgment. Who can think of an example of the Lord Jesus Christ showing tremendous wisdom and insight? This particular incident I'm thinking of involved stones and adultery. Yeah, well, yes. Remember when he said to the people, he said, he is without sin, pick up the first stone. And listen to what they said. And they went away, the oldest to the youngest. Because the old men went, ooh, that hurt. I can't pick up anything because I've done so much myself wrong. And how wise is that? How wise is that judgment? And the woman who had more husbands and said, no, you've had more husbands than that. And by the way, go away and sin no more. What wonderful judgment. What wonderful judgment from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like to do now, about 42 years ago, I discovered the book of Proverbs one day, and I was fascinated by it, and I'd never read it before. Honestly, I'd never read it before. And I knew that there was a brother in Melbourne who's now asleep in Christ who was really good on the book of Proverbs. His name was Stan Snow. And I buddied up to him and learned a lot off him. And then I decided that I was going to sit down one Saturday afternoon on the kitchen table and I was going to try and work out the whole structure of the book of Proverbs. So I had a go at it. It was pretty poor, but I had a go at it. And in the process of doing that, I decided that I would look at this word, wisdom. And so in this old beat-up Bible that I still love and can't part with, I started to... I'm not doing this to show off, please believe me. But I started to look in here and note very carefully all the words that meant wisdom. Now, you can tell it's a long time ago, because look at the handwriting. I can't do it that small now. And I've got to wear special glasses to do Bible marking now so I can see it. So things have changed. But what I did was found out what are the words, Hebrew words, behind wisdom, and what do they mean to us? So what I've done is a précis of that for you tonight. Now, if anyone would like these, I've got all this on... I can post this PowerPoint out to anyone who wants it. Maybe I'll send it to Steve and he can disperse it if you'd like it. But here's a listing of Hebrew words used to describe various aspects of wisdom. Now, what we've got to understand, and it's important for us to understand, that God uses more than one word for wisdom. In fact, he uses 8 words for wisdom. What does 8 mean in Bible numbers? Does anyone know what 8 means in Bible numbers? Yes. It means that we've come to the completion 7 and we're starting a new beginning. So when I read the book of Proverbs, I'd bear that in mind because I think, you know, I'm not at the 7 yet, but I'm looking forward to moving on to the 8. I'm looking forward to that new beginning. And the Proverbs is setting us up for a new beginning. It's inspiring our minds for a new beginning. It's making us think about the things of the Spirit. So the first word that we've got there is the Hebrew word binah. And that's from a root word. So with how the Hebrew language works very quickly is that you've got these big main words, they call them root words, and then out of those root words, like a root in the ground, out comes all these other Hebrew words. So quite often when you're looking up Strong's or Young's or someone, you see that the root word is. And if you go and have a look what the root word means, it often explains very clearly the meaning of the word. It gives you the depth behind it. So binah is from a root word meaning to separate mentally. So then the Hebrews look at that and they say, separate mentally, what does that mean to us? Well, it means thus understanding and intelligence. So this word binah is not the most used word for wisdom in the Bible, but it's an important one. And there it is used in Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Labour not to be rich. Cease from thy own binah. Cease from thy own understanding. Cease from thy own intelligence and trust in God, if we can paraphrase that. Trust in God. So that's one of the words we've got. Now, just for instance, I'll just have a little game here. How many times do you reckon wisdom appears in the Old Testament? Good question, isn't it? I looked it up. I'm real smart, aren't I? No, 222 times. So what I'm saying is it's important. It's an important aspect of the Scriptures. So here's the first one, binah, which means to separate mentally. So to understand and intelligence. Okay, that's the first word. The second word is chokmah, which is a root word, again, meaning to... So this is one of the root words. To be wise in mind, in words, and in action. Now, that's important. Now, this is the most used word for wisdom in the whole of the Scriptures. The most used word is this word, chokmah, which means to be wise, not only in mind, but in words and in what we do. So when the Hebrew people look at that, they see skill, outward movement, see, and dexterity, that we're doing the right things with our body, dexterity. So the classic one is that is in Proverbs 1 and verse 2, to know wisdom, that's chokmah, and instruction to perceive the words of understanding. So it's the most used word for wisdom in the Old Testament. And the other word that goes with it is chokmoth, which is the female form of chokmah and has the same meaning of skill, and is also used in Proverbs 1:29:1, which we read tonight, and 14:1, and is often used when wisdom is used as a woman. When we see that happening, we often see this word kokmoth is used in that case. So that's a really important word. So it means that it's to be wise in your mind, in your words, and in your actions. So be careful what you think, be careful what you say, and be careful what you do. Be intelligent enough to know what's the right thing to do. So that's the second and third word. And then we've got this funny word, ormah. Arnie Coe said to me, how do you pronounce that? And I said, I think it's ormah. And it relates to the principle of craftiness, subtlety and prudence. Subtlety and prudence. Those little numbers there are the Strong's numbers if you want to look them further. And you find that word is used like this. O ye simple, understand wisdom, ormah, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Now that word may also sometimes be used in a negative sense, ormah, to denote presumptuousness and guile, or positively it's used of prudent behaviour, well thought out behaviour. So it's you know, the serpent was crafty, that there wasn't anything wrong with that, but used it the wrong way. So there was subtlety there in the serpent, but used it the wrong way. Now, if we're guided by the scriptures, which the serpent wasn't, because the serpent was the carnal mind, we haven't got the carnal mind, we've got the spirit mind, because the word of God is guiding us through. So now, we're not going to use that word as presumptuously or with guile, we're going to use it positively in prudent behaviour before our God. So that's the is that the fourth word? Fourth word? I think you're not listening. Yes, you are. Okay, that's the fourth word. Okay, now, here's a word that you probably will know. It's about here. I'm just hoping mine keeps going. So this is the Hebrew word for the heart, but it's also used for wisdom. And it's the Hebrew word leb. It's also used widely of feelings, the will and the intellect, and translated 6 times as wisdom, and they always fit beautifully. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for the want of heart, because there's no inner man. There's no mind thinking about God. There's no heart desiring to do what God wants them to. There's no will and understanding to do the right thing in the man who doesn't know God. So the fools die for want of heart. They haven't got their heart in it. You know, we use that old expression, oh, they've really got their heart in it. That's the idea from the Hebrew. They've got their heart in it. So they're wise because they're doing the right thing. That's really important. Now I've got to turn my page, otherwise I wonder where I am next time. Okay, so that's that. Now, there's 3 more to go. And these two are very much related. So you've got the word here, sakal and sikal. And the first one is a root meaning to be circumspect, to become wise. Now, what does circumspect mean? Do you know what circumspect means? I'll be amazed if you do. Okay. And I'm not being rude by saying that. It's a very old word, older than me. So circumspect means to be careful. Right? So if you've got to make a decision and you think, oh, I don't know whether to do that or not, that's being circumspect. It's not jumping in and doing something that you later on find is wrong. That's circumspect. And if you're circumspect, then you become wise because you're thinking of the right things that you need to do. So if you're circumspect, you become wise. So sakal is a root word. So again, it's one of those key Hebrew root words which means to become wise, to be careful. And there is an example in Proverbs 1 and verse 3. To receive the instruction of sakal, justice, judgment and equity come from that. So when you receive the instruction of sakal to become circumspect and wise, then justice and judgment and equity comes out of that. So you can see how it beautifully fits into Proverbs 1 and verse 3. Now the other word is sikal, which is an extension of the first word and indicates success through the use of discretion and understanding. So that's used in Proverbs 12 and 8, 23 and 9, etc. And there's the Strong's number if you want to look it up further. And that's a really interesting word to study up. All these words are interesting to study up. So what I suggest you do, if you really want to wise up, is to take these Hebrew words and look at them in their setting and say, why has God used that particular Hebrew word there? And they all start to fall into place. It's amazing how those words fall into place. Now, I've only got one to go. And this is the most difficult to pronounce. I've used the Strong's pronunciation there, Tushiyah. Yeah, and it means wisdom seen in sound knowledge and success, and relates more to wisdom that is seen through the outward actions of a person. And one commentator said it means to substantiate the person. They're substantiated because they're using sound knowledge which leads to success, not necessarily in worldly success, but in success. So here's an example of it in Micah 6 and verse 9. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Why? Because this man is looking for success. He understands God and his purpose. He wants to know more about it. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? So Micah is calling here for judgment on a particular issue. But here is the Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of Tushiyah, sound knowledge, which leads to success, to be substantiated, hears it. So those words are really interesting for us, and you can do a lot of study with Young's Concordance is particularly good, because it lists all the Hebrew words one after the other. You don't have to go searching all over the concordance for them. And you can see how they're all used. Very, very good to do that. Any questions? Any comments? When is he finishing? I heard from Joe. No, it's all right, Joe. Won't be long. Now, what about the purpose of biblical wisdom? It's all right to talk about it, but what does it really mean? So here's a very nice comment in Proverbs 8 and verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So here's a proverb which is talking about wisdom's words. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now to lead there means I walk. So I walk in the way of righteousness. In the midst of means right down the middle. Neither turning from the left or the right. So here is a person who's been guided by this wisdom that never strays, never wants, never goes away, and never fails. The wisdom of God, biblical wisdom, leads the way. It helps us to walk and write down the right path which leadeth to everlasting life. So Proverbs 8:20, very valuable little proverb to think about. So let's further on in the purpose of biblical wisdom. Okay, listen to what Isaiah says in relation to that last quote. Isaiah says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So wisdom leads us. And here's the spirit of wisdom, and Isaiah can hear that, and Isaiah says, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, how do we hear that? Does God speak to us openly? No. But plentifully through that. So we can hear every day of our lives, if we choose, to listen to God's directions. So that wisdom leads us. She will lead us from earthly to a heavenly way of thinking and acting. Because now our mind is elevated from the old man to the new man in terms of Romans. And in terms of Paul in Ephesians, we're now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our thinking is gone way beyond the things of this world, which is foolishness to God. And our thinking is now thinking about the wonderful things of what God wants us to do and has promised in the near future. So wisdom leads us. She will lead us from earthly to heavenly way of thinking and acting. Now that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. I lead, I walk. Now, let's think about now the outwork. Let's take an example of the outworking of wisdom. Now here's an example. Think about our lives. We've got a life of Number one, conversion. So it doesn't matter whether we come through the Sunday school process or whether we discover the truth later on in life. At that some point, we're going to be converted. We're going to be changed. And we're going to be living a different sort of life. So conversion means a turning from evil. For the fear of the Lord, which we know is the beginning of wisdom, is to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13, turn from our cherished independence to that way which seemeth right unto man, 14:12. So when we're converted, we've got to stop being all for ourselves. And we know that, and the Bible tells us that very clearly. So conversion means turning from evil for the fear of the Lord. Now, can I talk to the young people here again? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean this sort of fear? Or what sort of fear is it? You said no, then you're going to supply me. What sort of fear is it? Say it a bit louder. To love him a lot, a much, yes. So if we use that word fear, which is a biblical word, but if we look into that word, which we'll do in a minute, it doesn't just mean to shake, though some people have scripturally shaken when in the presence of God, but it means to reverence him. And to reverence someone means to admire them and not do the wrong thing by them. Okay? Because you love them so much, as you rightly said. Okay? They're good words. Okay, so that's the first bit. So first of all, we've got to get our mind converted. Then we've got to get our mind dedicated. So we're going to turn to the light, indeed to God's salvation. And the proverb says, turn in hither, says wisdom. And the range of invitation anticipates the gospel offer. Come, eat, drink, forsake, live and walk. Proverbs 9, verses 5 and 6. So in our dedication, wisdom guides us in that as well. So once we're converted, we need to do something with that conversion, and that is dedicate ourselves to the work of the truth, to the love and to the help of our brethren and sisters and young people. Then we're going to do something more. We've got to be devoted. And so Proverbs 8:34 says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So wisdom is for the humbly eager person. They're the wise ones. The arrogant are not wise. The wise ones are the humbly eager people who want to know what God's saying, who are waiting daily at his gates and watching at the post of the doors. It's not for the man wise in his own eyes. He thinks he has arrived, and he probably has. For without the biblical wisdom, he may never move another step. It is because he does not seriously want to be better person, whether the wise man is teachable to the end, open to God's word and chastising, for he values the truth enough to pay the price of having it. It's a pearl of great price. So if you're wise, you'll be serious about the truth, and you'll want to be a better person in Christ Jesus, and you'll be teachable to the end that you're open to God's command and to the chastising of the Lord. For you will value the truth enough to pay the price of having it, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. So that's the outworking of wisdom in our lives. So wisdom is not just a theory, not a theory. It's a nice thing to talk about, but it's not just a theory. It's got to be outworked in our lives, and that's really, really important. So let's think about one more thing. Here's this quote that we talked about before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if we've got a great reverence for our God, and we love him and admire him and his son for all the work that they've done for us, that's the beginning of biblical wisdom, and it doesn't come any other way. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. So once we've got a fear of our God and we reverence him and we turn to his word, we've got a knowledge of the holy, and we're gaining every day more and more understanding. More and more understanding. Very important for us to think about that. So this is the motto for the book of Proverbs, really. And it's a classic statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's echoed not only in Proverbs, but also in Job 28:28 and Psalm 111:10. And wisdom is practical, aimed at conduct, but one must know the teachings of the sage and be guided by the fear of the Lord. So you've got to have knowledge of the holy, but you've got to be guided by your reverence for God in the first place. And that will take us nicely through our lives in the truth. We will have our problems and our moments, of course, we all do. Now, I just wanted to, I'm not conscious of the time, we've got about 5 minutes, and I've probably got about 85 minutes of information here, so what we're going to do is we're going to cull it all down and get to the point. The point is that we need in our lives to have a reverence for God's truth, as found in his word of truth, and an outworking in our lives. We need to be careful what we say, what we hear, and what we do, and use wise counsel, not only from the scriptures, but sometimes from our peers, to help us along. And the Proverbs talk about a wise man listens to counsel, and they do. And often there is counsel found in a group of people. So there's a contrast in the book of Proverbs between the wise and fools. It's principally conduct. Fools refuse to listen, and if they refuse to listen to God, they don't obey. And that ignorance of fools spills over into their wicked behaviour. And that's what we find right through the scriptures. So this fear of Yahweh is this Hebrew word yirah, which means to fear, to be in terror, to see someone as awesome, to have respect and reverence. Now that's the best illustration that I can find for this word fear. So certainly it means to fear and to be in terror, to see someone as awesome, far beyond yourself, and to have respect and reverence for that person. And once we do that, we're on our way to wisdom. We're on our way to wisdom once we do that. And the starting point is the beginning of wisdom. So the starting point or foundation, the first rank, the choice part, is the beginning of wisdom. Now, in a fool, you don't find that. And there's a lot in the Bible about fools. And a lot of us can relate to that very nicely at oft times. But a fool is not necessarily stupid. But always they tend to be rebellious. So we, you know, I know some people who are extremely bright, but if I venture to mention anything about the gospel, they'll bolt. They don't want to know anything about it because it means that they've got to pay some sort of price. And so a fool is not necessarily stupid, but they're nearly always tend to be on the rebellious side of life. Okay, so let's complete our night together by thinking about some scripture that says, wisdom has builded her house, she hath hewn out seven pillars. And I want to just suggest to you what those pillars might be. In the scriptures, for the younger ones who may not know, or perhaps they do, sevens in the scriptures are very important because, as Uncle Steve said, eight is going a new beginning and seven is completion. So when you see groups of seven in the scriptures, God's saying this is a complete set. This is something really important. So you've got the seven spirit gifts, seven purposes of Proverbs, to know, to perceive, to receive, etc. Seven things wisdom offers in Proverbs 8:6-11. Seven aspects of the one body in Ephesians 4. And seven pillars of wisdom in Proverbs 8:12-14. So let's just go to Proverbs 8 and have a 1 minute look at that. And there we read, okay, so there we read, where am I? Here I am. So we read from verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness, there is nothing froward or perverse in them. This is wisdom speaking, personified as a woman. They are all plain to him that understand. and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth to do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am of understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And so it goes on. So in the scriptures there are seven pillars of wisdom. And these seven pillars are really good for us to think about. And in those pillars we can apply the directions of wisdom. We must be cunning and discerning evil. We should reverence our God and accept his directions. If we do these things, we'll have stability, comprehension, courage in our daily lives and in our pursuit of divine things. All those things are important. And the seven pillars can be being prudent. Prudent means that you actually apply wisdom. Be cunning. Have the fear of the Lord or reverence for God. Have counsel or direction. Sound wisdom, that is stability. Understanding, comprehension, and strength, that is courage. If you put all those qualities together, applied wisdom, cunning, reverence, direction, stability, comprehension, and courage, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all those things relate to him. He was all those things. And as we saw from one of our early slides, he manifested the wisdom of the Father perfectly. Now, we will never do that to the perfection our Lord did. But it should be our quest, brethren and sisters, to try. We should be trying to do those things in our lives and take the example of the Lord Jesus Christ for our model. He is our model. So, we're going to leave it there because it's 25 past and Jamie has threatened me. So we will leave it there. But let me finish with just one thought. We haven't got long to go. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is very close indeed. So now is the time to take the opportunity, brethren and sisters, to get ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord and Master. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And how excited we are about that. And I don't think it's very far away. So let's be wise and let's live after the example of our Lord Jesus Christ.